Hear that? Up there in that tree? Oh, yeah.
Tweet, tweet.
It's me and all my homies love native manu, and it's about to start.
Yeah, it is. No mai hoki mai ki, me and all my homies love native manu. Iti wiki nei, we are talking about the kāduhiduhi, the pied shag. Here to talk with me, as always, is the legend of my life, my best friend, bird expert and extraordinaire, Pete Tonda. How are you, babes?
Morena, love. Yes, no, it's good to be here.
Good to be
expert
here.
Expert I am not, but... I'm excited about today's kororo.
Yeah, aye. So today, e te whanau, we're talking about the kāduhiduhi, the pied shag. Can you give us, please, Pete, a classification of this manu?
Absolutely. So it's this kāduhiduhi, it's a native, but it's not endemic. It's also found in Australia, and it's got a status of recovering.
Aye.
And the reason why it's recovering is because we used to bloody persecute and slaughter them in large numbers.
Why did that happen?
Because they were seen to be competition for fishermen.
Oh, for God's sake.
And that was the acclimatisation type mentality. Is anything that threatens their hunting, their fishing, got to get rid of that threat.
Yeah.
So shags have only been sort of protected since about 1953, and the black shag, the biggest shag, is still only partially protected since 1986.
Wow.
But if they dare to feed on trout or salmon, you can still shoot them. Go figure.
I'm just like... I know this is like radio and I should be speaking, but I feel like dumbfounded at the thought of that. I'm like, how is that legal?
It's the colonial mindset, isn't it?
Yeah. So yeah, there used to be some huge culls with competition to fishermen, but now you say they're recovering.
Yep.
So
yep.
What's the kind of population now?
I think there's about 5,000 to 10,000 pairs.
Oh, in that's incredible. All.
That's quite good.
Incredible. Yeah.
And there's about 40 shag species around the world.
Yeah.
And we have 13 of them. Unfortunately, one's extinct.
What one's extinct, Pete?
It's called the Kohatu.
Kohatu.
That got extinct really early on. Right. I think it was quite a big shag and it was good tucker.
Shout out.
Yeah, so we've got lots of black shags, little shags, pied shags, little black shags, spotted shags, king shags, and then there's a number named after specific islands like Pitt Island or Campbell Island, Chatham Island shags. They were all little local variations on the manu.
But cool to know that there's so many species of them around the world.
Yeah,
so the Māori name for the pied shag that we're talking about today is the kāduhiduhi. It can also be called the kōau and kāwo as well.
Yeah.
And ruhi can mean to be lazy or like low energy.
Yeah, and I don't think that fits.
No, I don't think it fits either. But we were just talking about that. But yeah, kind of with our tangata whenua relationship to the pied shag, there's lots of stories out there, and that's why Pete chose this bird this week, because we really wanted to go deep into the Māori relationship to this bird. And so, yeah, there's a pūrākau that Kupe, he had a king shag called Te Kawo Atoru as a navigator to help him find his way to Aotearoa.
Cool, eh?
Yeah, it's so special. But the navigator shag came to grief in the fast currents of Te Aumiti, French Pass, at the top of Te Waipounamu. So, yeah, rest in peace to you, girl.
Yeah.
We've also got in the Hauraki Gulf, Kawo Island. I've actually been there. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Cool island, yep.
And so, yeah, in the Hauraki Gulf, it's called Te Kawo Tumaru, and that is the shag standing watch. And that is that was named by Ngāti Manuhiri ancestor Toi Te Huatahi. Yeah.
Yeah. who's also an ancestor for a number of other iwi.
Ai Marika.
Yeah.
Ngai Tahu, it's always also seen as a taonga species for Kaitahu, which is awesome. This bird is found throughout the island. We'll get into that soon. Yeah, and then it's also, well, we've got a lot of whakatauki. I might just get into that now, Pete, about the manu.
Yep.
So we've got three whakatauki to share with you, Ite Atane. The first whakatauki tuatahi is ka māro tokaki o te kāwau. And what does that, mean, Pete?
It sort of means the shag's neck is stretched out. Mm. And it sort of represents the shag's posture just before they launch into flight.
Yeah.
And it's a sort of metaphor for a personal group preparing to attack.
Yeah. I love that. I'm going to incorporate that into my life. It's such a good whakatauki to have. Whakatauki tuarua, the second whakatauki. Kia mau ki tēnā, kia mau ki te kāwau māro. What does that mean, Pete?
Yeah, it's hold firm, be steadfast, and that's also about attack.
Yeah,
about being staunch and, fearless.
I love that. Yeah. Beautiful whakatauki e te rane. And our last whakatauki, ngā waite, ko au ka ruku ki te aro maunga e hokia. And what does that speak to, Pete?
It sort of interprets the shag is flying in a narrow valley and it won't change its direction to avoid crashing into a mountainside.
Yeah.
So it all refers to someone who sort of stubbornly pursues an objective despite sort of warnings that disaster may result.
Yep.
And it's based on shags, they always fly in straight lines.
Really?
They're very direct, and so they're feeding in a place, they finish feeding, and they say, I'm going to go over there, and they just beeline it.
Yeah.
They don't swerve or meander off course. That's just straight line manu.
Efficient.
Yeah.
And I really like that whakatauki, so that was ngā waite ko au ka ruku ki te aro maunga e hokia. Cool. So, Pete, how would you describe this manu?
Yeah, it's a manu. It's swagger.
It's swagger.
They just really know what they're about, and I think they don't even know that they're manu. They just know they're something special, and they sort of don't give a toss about anything else.
That's awesome.
They've just got attitude.
Amazing.
And they're sort of a common bird around the motu. It's got black on top and a black back and black legs and this beautiful white underbelly.
Yeah.
The lower half of its head is also white.
Yeah.
It's got these massive web feet for propulsion.
Mm.
And it's got these amazing green pupils with a blue eye ring. And then a patch of yellow in front of that. They're quite spectacular.
I didn't actually know what about the yellow and blue around the eye until I looked it up this morning and I was like, wow, that's such a beautiful feature of this
quite
manu.
Striking.
Yeah. And so, you mentioned that we've kind of talked about that. They're all throughout Aotearoa, but where would you find them mostly, Pete?
Coastal areas, estuaries, rivers, sometimes lakes.
Yeah.
You know, I'm often waist deep in the Waikaroa floundering or fishing and the manu just pops up beside me and, gives me a good eyeballing and just saying, what are you doing in my rohi?
Yeah.
And then just looks at me and then ducks under and gets some more kai.
He's like, who is this giant Dutch man in my awa?
Yeah,
so they feed on flounder, mullet, eels, and some other perch, kahawai, and other fish as well. Also kaura, our native crayfish, mollusks, and even a few unfortunate ducklings.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Opportunist.
Circle of lives. And you've actually, in our notes this week, Pete's written down three special powers of these birds.
Yes.
And so we're going to get into this.
Absolutely.
I just am laughing because the notes are so funny. Let's get into it, Pete.
Okay. Number one, underwater hunting, the jet-propelled ballerinas. Right, 1984, I was standing on a bridge in Whangarei. And I saw this karuhirui rounding up and chasing the shoal of small fish.
Right.
When you go on bridges, always look into the awa. You know, you never know what you'll see.
Yeah.
And I saw this manu, and the way it rounded up the fish, you know, like the sheepdogs.
Yeah.
It's just rounded it up like pushing them in all different directions, pushed it into a corner, and then just fires in and eats one of the fish.
So very, very targeted in the way they
and
hunt.
And then the fish scatter, comes up for breath, and then it does the same. It goes down, rounds them up, pushes them into a corner, and then snaps another fish. They're amazing.
Very considered hunting techniques.
So awesome, awesome hunting techniques. That's the first one.
And because they're going into the water so much, they must be able to hold their breath for
that's
long.
That's the second one.
That's the second one. Okay.
I was astounded. They can hold their breath for 3 minutes, 40 seconds.
That's pretty incredible.
And that's while they're zooming around chasing koi.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's astounding. I think that's pretty talented.
Like, to be able to hold your breath normally, like just, you know, when you hold your breath normally, you're sitting still. But to be doing it when you're like hunting, like that's
impressive,
incredible. Yeah. And so then they've got a special mouth.
Yeah, this is the kicker, really. They've got this mega expandable mouth and throat.
Aye.
And, you know, a few years ago, I was out floundering, and then, ironically, and I saw this karuru. It popped up, and it had this flounder in its mouth.
Yeah.
And I thought, no way is that going down its gullet. And it did.
Oh,
this
my God.
Adult flounder, and it just keeps expanding its mouth and then forces it down. And at one point, the whole outline of the flounder was in its throat. And it
you're like, what the hell?
It just is incredible. And it just pushes it down into its tummy acid starts working.
So it must have a really acidic stomach then to break down.
Yeah, so go on YouTube. Just research you know, shags eating fish. You'll see some massive eels and other fish being swallowed whole by
these
manu. It's amazing.
Yeah, and so, like, the bird's only like 65, kind of 80 centimetres tall, right? So to be able to be eating these huge, like, ika as well was phenomenal. And in terms of their breeding peak, what are their kind of breeding patterns like?
Yeah, they nest in colonies and trees. Around the coast, often in Pahutukawa or pine trees or mangrove areas.
Yeah.
There's a big colony in Thames near the Wharf.
Yeah.
Great fish and chips.
Yeah, you can. Great fish and chips.
Yeah, they do
Thames.
Awesome fish and chips there.
And you can also, I mean, shags are all around the island, but for the pied shag specifically, you can find them in Te Taitokoro, Tamaki Makaurau, Te Tairawhiti, Te Whanganui Atara, Whakatū Nelson, Te Tauihu Marlborough, and also South Island, further south, Waitaha, Canterbury, Banks Peninsula. Yeah, Fiordland and Stewart Island. So they're all over the show. Yeah,
all over.
Yeah. So yeah, they nest all year.
Yeah. And but they got peaks around February and April and August and October.
So that's when they're...
Interesting that they sort of can breed and nest all year round, though.
I know, that's
it's
what
quite,
I was thinking as
quite
well.
Quite adaptable, really.
Is that's quite a special thing, because usually a manu would just have a kind of one period throughout the year which they're breeding, eh? And the chicks start flying around 7 to 8 weeks.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep. Get fed by both parents, and they get fed for another 10, 11 weeks once they leave the nest.
Yep.
Just to learn how to feed themselves.
Yeah. And I'm imagining, like, for the little baby birds who are trying to eat the huge fish, how does that work? Maybe they just...
That's a good question.
I think they
wouldn't give a whole flounder to a chick. That's just never going to work, is it?
No, it's not.
So it's probably partly digested, regurgitated mush that they feed the chicks.
Yeah, and that's how you feed me every morning, eh?
Where did that come from?
And Pete, finally, some threats to their order, their life.
Trawling nets and long lines are the main ones.
Yeah. So trawling nets used on fishing boats.
Yeah.
And what are long lines?
I mean, long lining is much more sustainable than trawling nets.
Yeah.
And so they just have a long line with 40, 60 hooks or more. They just let those out, and then they pull them in. And that's a better way of fishing, but unfortunately the manu see the bait and think that's a little feed and they get
absolutely,
caught.
Yeah.
And then they drown in the process of being on the hook. And
yeah. So I guess just a message to all our people out there fishing, just to be aware of where you're going fishing, look around for the shags. Is that...
And if they're hanging around when you're about to put the line out, you just maybe try and scare them away a bit, if that's possible. But just be aware
they're
of that.
They're pretty approachable birds, eh? Like they don't get too...
Yeah, they're quite bold.
Yeah, I love that.
And the other thing is they're under threat by trout and salmon fishermen who can shoot them.
Oh, my
that's
God.
That's not funny. that's sad, actually. Mm. And I just want to give a shout out for just one of my reference books.
Yeah, please.
When I left Doc, I got this book given to me by my team who knew I loved the manu. And it's a book, Bird Stories, by Jeff Norman. And it's an awesome book about the history of New Zealand birds.
I love that.
It's a very cool one.
Yeah, and important to get our info from books as well as the internet. And so you got a song to play
for
us. To finish off.
A song by Split Enz, Shag Attack. I mean, it's Shark Attack. But anyway, when you hear the song, just imagine that you're a sprat happily swimming along and a shag is about to attack you. This is what it's going to feel like.
Oh, my God. Okay, that's kind of brutal, but okay. Thanks, Pete, for coming in. Beautiful kōrero. This is Shark Attack by Split Enz. We'll be right back.
Isn't that beautiful?
That was Me and All My Homies Love Native Manu, only on 95 BFM.